take you to Chase Hall on the Wilkes College campus, South River Street in Wilkes-Barre, where you will hear a 15-minute broadcast entitled Wilkes College on the Air.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We welcome you to a 15-minute program of Wilkes College on the Air. This morning, the members of the Pre-Medical Society at Wilkes College will present their first program of the current semester. The first speaker will be Dr. Reif.
Good morning, one and all. The Pre-Medical Society is composed of students and faculty members who are interested in medicine or some phase of the medical sciences. As I think you know, the medical schools demand certain courses as prerequisites, which entering students must have had. All of the required work could be taken in 1 year of academic study if it were not for the fact that certain courses have to follow one another and be taken in sequence. Today, when most students enter medical school, they have done the equivalent of 4 years college work or have earned an academic degree. The medical technologist must take 2 years of concentrated collegiate work before they go to a clinic for further study. Many universities actually offer 4 years of work leading to a degree in medical technology. Nursing calls for 2 years of college work before the student goes to a hospital to study to become a supervisor or some special kind of nurse. Now, this may seem like a lot of work, and it is. For most people who graduate from high school, the change over to studying at a college level is quite a step up. Most members of the pre-medical society are relatively hard workers. They have to be to stay with us. As a matter of fact, I might say, however, that some of them actually find that studying can be fun and that learning new things can be exciting. In their various courses, students discover that some phases of study are more fun than others, and some subjects are more interesting than others. With me here in the studio today are several students who belong to the Pre-Medical Society. They're going to tell us about certain of the subjects which they have found especially interesting. The first on the program will be Mr. Edward Brill, who is a senior and who is going to Hahnemann Medical College next year. He's going to tell us something about bacteriology and botany. Mr. Brill.
Closely related, since they both deal with plant life, botany and bacteriology form a major part of the biological curriculum of Wilkes College. Courses in botany are more concerned with the larger, more commonly seen varieties of plants, whereas bacteriology restricts itself to the study of the extremely small plants, many of which are responsible for various human afflictions. A large portion of the student's laboratory time in bacteriology is spent in his becoming familiar with standard techniques employed in the laboratories of hospitals, state and federal public health agencies, dairies, bottling plants, agricultural establishments, and in textile mills. In addition, a host of disease-causing organisms are isolated, grown on suitable media, and injected into susceptible small animals, wherein their effects are closely observed and studied. To achieve these ends, the students make use of numerous and varied instruments, examples of which are the autoclave, which by heat and pressure destroys any and all life, microscopes capable of making substances appear 1,000 times their actual size, and certain electronic devices such as the pH meter and high-speed centrifuges. The microorganisms with which the students work include some of the most deadly and insidious bacteria known to cause disease, such as anthrax and tuberculosis, as well as some of the most beneficial, such as penicillin and various soil bacteria. To further supplement our work in the classroom, bacteriology students go on field trips, the most recent of which was an inspection of the waterworks located at Huntsville Reservoir. In botany, on the other hand, attempts are made to simulate conditions as they exist in the field and to determine thereby the effects of various factors upon the growth and development of plants. The life cycles of plants, such as the common lima bean, are intently traced and studied, and during this process, the responses of plants to stimuli such as sunlight, water, wind, and cold are observed and noted. This is done in order to make the student realize what conditions should prevail so that healthy, sturdy plants might be produced. In short, our attention is focused upon the plant primarily as a source of food, clothing, or shelter, rather than some cause of disease, as is done for the most part in bacteriology.
Ms. Ann Tressler, who is a freshman at Wilkes, is now taking general zoology. She's going to tell us something about the work in the laboratory in general zoology. Ms. Tressler.
An important part of the general zoology course is the laboratory work. For the study of microscopic creatures, each student is provided with a compound microscope and a box of slides. By means of slides, one can see creatures as they appear when killed and stained, either as cross sections or whole mounts. Single-celled creatures, such as amoeba and paramecium, which can be grown in the laboratory, are studied in the living form. In order to study larger animals, such as the dogfish shark, the frog, and the pig embryo, preserved specimens are used. These specimens are large enough to permit a detailed study of the internal organs, the brain, and the arteries and veins. The circulation of blood throughout the body is traced. The section of the arteries and veins would be more difficult if the creatures were not injected. Injection involves the introduction of colored latex into the blood vessels so that they become apparent and remain in good condition. Particular attention is paid to the internal organs, and their positions and functions are noted. Perhaps the most delicate dissection problem encountered in the general zoology laboratory is the exposure of the brain and cranial nerves of the dogfish shark. Both are covered by cartilage, which must be chipped away before the nerves can be observed. While studying the anatomy of creatures, students also consider the various changes that have come about and the relationships of animals. Dissection problems help to make clear facts that are learned in the lectures. Another very important reason for laboratory work is to develop basic skills and a delicateness of touch that will be of great advantage in professional work.
The people who major in biology don't take beginning biology until their sophomore year. However, they do start chemistry in the freshman year because we know that chemistry is exceedingly important in biological work. Most of them take at least 3 years of chemistry. With us today is Mr. Bernard Schleicher, a junior who is going to tell us something about chemistry. Mr. Schleicher.
All chemical reactions and life processes take place in a solution. In order to understand the fundamental reactions that take place in all living organisms, the student must have a good working knowledge of both inorganic and organic chemistry. Inorganic chemistry is the study of the chemical reactions of non-vegetable and non-animal matter. The analytical inorganic chemistry courses a pre-medical student must take includes quantitative and qualitative analyses. Quantitative analysis deals with the amount or quantity of a chemical present in a sample of material, such as the amount of salt in ocean water. In quantitative analysis, the student learns to use an analytical balance, which measures weights as small as 6/1,000,000 of an ounce, less than the weight of a single particle of table salt. Organic chemistry, on the other hand, is the chemistry of compounds produced by living organisms, both plants and animals. It is a relatively new field of study in that the first organic compound was not produced synthetically in the laboratory until 1828, when Frederick Waller obtained urea by the interaction of two inorganic salts. Since then, chemists, by their study of nature and nature's methods, have been able to reproduce many other compounds, in addition to originate a multitude of others. Such drugs as cocaine and camphor found in certain plants have been reproduced in the laboratory and actually improved. Moreover, new drugs not found in nature have been created, and the modern physician has at his disposal a long list of new synthetic medicinal agents, which include anesthetics, antimalarials, the sulfur drugs, the arseticals, and many others. A knowledge of organic chemistry is absolutely necessary to the pre-medical student. The principles of organic chemistry are used by the student in the studies of physiology and biological chemistry. Organic chemistry helps him to understand the reactions that take place in the solution of life, which we call protoplasm.
Miss Mary Schalosky is going to tell us something about certain other teaching aids used in biology. Miss Schalosky.
Studies in biology at Wilkes College are made more interesting by the many visual aids utilized by the Department of Biology. Educational films are often an important supplement to the regular lecture and laboratory classes. Many of the films show living organisms in their natural habitats. The topics of these films may range from parasites in the human bloodstream to the reproduction of domesticated animals. Many concern biological experiments which could not practically be performed by the students themselves. In these films, the students are introduced to certain laboratory techniques which they will be required to know in more advanced fields of biology. The botany students are aided in their studies of plants by Kodachrome slides of various flowers, trees, and fruits as they appear in their natural environments. In their microscopic work, the students are helped by the use of the microprojector, an instrument which projects images of slides up to 3,000 times their actual size. Large models of plants, animal systems, and animal organs, along with actual preserved animals, also help to paint a more vivid picture of biology for the students.
Last but not least, Miss Agnes Novak is going to tell us something about genetics. Miss Novak is a senior.
One phase of biological studies here at Wilkes College is genetics. To the average person who is not acquainted with biology and its branches, the term genetics may be unfamiliar. Genetics is simply the study of heredity. Some of the more common questions which arise in connection with heredity have already been resolved by geneticists. Others are still enigmatic. For example, is feeble-mindedness hereditary? Can the sex of the child be determined before birth? Are physical handicaps inherited? Is left-handedness inherited? The study of genetics has brought to light much interesting and useful information concerning these problems. It is the microscopic chromosomes which determine our heredity. That is, they possess the genes or factors which determine the mental ability of a child, the color of its eyes, brown or blue, its sex, and even such minor characteristics as the inclination to use its left hand rather than the right. The issue of sex determination before birth is the most interesting question confronting the geneticist. As yet, although the process of chromosome division and pairing has been thoroughly investigated and understood, there is no definite method of foretelling or determining the sex of the child before birth. However, the scientist has definitely established proof that physical handicaps are not inherited. A disfigurement resulting from an injury, such as an amputation of a leg or an arm, has no effect on offspring. Neither are corrections from plastic surgery transmitted through chromosomes. Genetics is a relatively new and highly explorable branch of biology, which has contributed much to the clearing away of superstitions which have surrounded the mystery of heredity, and which will undoubtedly contribute even more valuable information in the near future.
The Pre-Medical Society has enjoyed being with you this morning, and we invite you to join us Thursday evening in the Biology Building to hear Dr. Tether discuss the general problem of socialized medicine. It might be of interest for me to tell you that the Pre-Medical Society also plans week after next to go to Philadelphia to visit certain medical schools and certain other biological establishments.
Thank you, Dr. Wright. That concludes this morning's broadcast of Wilkes College on the Air. We invite you to listen again on Friday morning when the members of the student newspaper staff will provide you with up-to-the-minute news and a 15-minute program of highlights in the campus news. This program originated in Chase Hall on the Wilkes College campus. Your program announcer has been Burl Updike. And now back to your WHWL studio in Nanticoke.
You have just heard a 15-minute broadcast from Chase Hall on the Wilkes College campus, South River Street in Wilkes-Barre. Tune in Friday for another broadcast entitled Wilkes College on the Air.